Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, lead us. Guide us. God, may we follow you in all of our ways, everything we say, everything we do. May it bring glory to your name. God, open our hearts, our minds this morning. May we hear your call, Lord. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. In the military, there's something called a cadence call. And it's a kind of a call and response, or sometimes it's a call and repeat. And it's a working song or a running marching song. That chant, so to speak, keeps soldiers moving in step. It creates uniformity. I was looking this week at different ones. I'll be honest, most of them are not repeatable in church. But here's one I ran across. It's birdie, birdie in the sky. Drop some whitewash in my eye. I don't complain and I don't cry. I'm just glad that cows can't fly. Left, 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 your right, your left, you know. So it goes. I thought this morning, if you want to do this with me, stand up if you're able. And our young people here, if you'll help us out a little bit, we're going to kind of get the stomp going on. So left, left, left. There you go. I'm not going to do it. I'm dyslexic. So, but all right. So keep the stomping going. I'm going to call out, and I want you to repeat after me. So you ready? T-H-E-Y. Stick a needle in my eye. T-H-E-Y. Cross my heart, they'll make you cry. Left, 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 right, left, left. Aren't you glad we're in the military today? Aren't you glad you came to church? Huh? Give yourself applause. I appreciate that. That's what we're going to talk about today. T-H-E-Y. They have serious sway. I mean, have you ever noticed the power of they? They have messed up a lot of people through the years. They start echoing in your head. And friends, you got to stop and ask yourself, who are they? I remember when I was in my early teens, I was kind of down about something. I don't even remember what really happened, but something had happened at school. I was kind of down about it. And my dad noticed, and he goes, "What's wrong?" And so I told him. I said, "Well, they said this, and they said that, and they did this, and they did that." And so I'm kind of spilling it out. And dad goes, "Who are they?" "Well, all these guys at school." And my dad goes, "What guys at school? Who are they?" And my dad finally dissected the thing for me. And I remember him saying, "So they are two guys. Move on, son. Move on." What I discovered was they was just a couple guys. But the sway of they. Who are they in your life? T-H-E-Y, who are they? See, you can hang out with the wrong they or the right they. You can listen to the wrong they or the right they. But you have to be very intentional about it. That conversation I had with my father, I mean, it was years ago, but it served me well through my life. And so whether you're 13 today, 33, 73, T-H-E-Y, they have sway in your life. And if you listen to the wrong they will break the cadence in your life. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it records the strength of various characters and the weaknesses of people that are found in Scripture. It gives you both sides of it. And because I get both sides, I think it makes it easier to identify with it. It keeps the Bible real, so to speak. It shows what will happen when a character hangs out with the wrong they. And it shows what happens for those characters that listen to the right they. See, it's the sway of they in life. You know, it lets you know that you've got the wrongs and the rights, and they have sway in your life. I think about Samson. Samson, the biblical bodybuilder, the guy that had superhuman strength that was God-inspired. He was the he-man with the she-weakness in his life, and he had it going on. I mean, Samson was a leader. He was born to lead. He was charismatic. He was handsome. I want you to think Chris Hemsworth, okay? Thor, that was Samson. And the Bible says that Samson hung out with the wrong they. And they had serious sway in his life. They took him to the wrong places. They led him down the wrong roads. They messed up that cadence in his life. And in the end, if you read the story, it ends up breaking him. It ends up breaking God's purpose, God's principles in his life. It's a very tragic story till the very end. It's the, you know, would have, could have, should have type thing. It was the sway of they that got involved. On the other hand, Nehemiah, who we've been talking about the last few weeks, Nehemiah understood the power of they. You know, Nehemiah, he was a security specialist. He was took care of things for the king of Persia. Artaxerxes is the most powerful king in the 5th century. It was a massive empire. Nehemiah lived in the city of Susa. It's now modern-day Iraq. Nehemiah, his official title was cupbearer. It was a powerful political position. It was probably one of the most lucrative jobs in the kingdom. And one day, Nehemiah receives news from back home. Jerusalem's in ruins, and the people are living in fear. And Nehemiah prayed about the situation, and he heard God's call of duty. He knew that God was calling him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild the city. Nehemiah, last week we talked about, he waited for the opportunity. He puts everything on the line. And he asks the king for some time off. He asks him for supplies. He asks him for the traveling passports and visas. And because God's hand was on Nehemiah, the king granted his request. Very improbable. But the king granted it. And when we left the story last week, Nehemiah, he had just arrived in Jerusalem. He had surveyed the wall, traveled around the city to look at the damage, assess things. And Nehemiah had come to the people of Jerusalem about rebuilding the city and rebuilding the walls. And the people said, let's do it. Let's rebuild it. And that's where we're going to pick things up this morning. You know, today, I think we don't quite comprehend the importance of walls because today it's kind of outdated, isn't it? But in biblical times, a wall around the city, it represented protection. It screamed community. For the Jews living in Jerusalem, it also represented the freedom to worship their God and not have anybody crash in on them. It was protection for the temple. And so the wall's going up. Nehemiah is listening to the right they. T-H-E-Y. You know, let me ask you something. What did they influence you to do that you wouldn't have done if they hadn't been around? Or flip it around. What did they influence you not to do that you would have done had they not been around? See, the sway of they swings both ways, doesn't it? The right they, the wrong they. Yeah, check this out. Scripture says this. This is the wrong they, by if you take a look at it. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this that you're doing? They ask. Are you rebelling against the king? Here's the strange thing, I think. The enemy in our lives has a way of making the wrong they sound like an army, sound like the overwhelming majority in our life. The wrong they makes us feel like everybody feels this way. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's doing it. That's the wrong sway. I mean, if you listen to those few, they will mess you up. Sanballat and Tobiah, they held high posts, so to speak, in provinces around Jerusalem. Geshem was an Arabian prince. These three guys are the wrong they. Now, I know those names are kind of strange, but you could take, just put in names of people in your life that you go, yeah, they've got sway on me, and they're the wrong theys. See, I believe that God has given every one of us opportunities. There are opportunity after opportunity. In fact, I believe if you could see all the opportunities that are in your future, it would blow your mind. I mean, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, they come our way, but there is no opportunity in life that's worth anything without opposition. You will face opposition. You will not build anything in your life without a battle. See, it is a war, and it's a war that you have to fight. Nehemiah, he's building something. Nehemiah is building a wall of worship. We're all building something in our lives, aren't we? We're building some kind of wall, so to speak. It's a wall of worship. Everything we do is an act of worship. You know, worship's not something that we do for 70 minutes on Sunday morning only. Worship is everything you do, everything you do, everything you do. The way you relate to people is worship. The way you work is worship. The way you act at school, the way you study, the way you treat your spouse, your kids, your parents, the way you handle your finances. Everything should be an act of worship before God. So if you're going to build the wall, whatever that is in your life, if you're going to build it the way God wants you to build it, you got to listen to the right they. Nehemiah, verse 20, it says, I answered them by saying, and this is the wrong they, all right? The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or any historic right to it. Nehemiah says, we're going to build this wall. We're not going to argue with you. We're not going to waste our time. We're not going to waste our energy on you. We're just going to do it. You know, as a friend of mine, he used to say when I was in college, he'd say, there ain't nothing to do but to do it. There ain't nothing to do but to do it. Arise and build. Just get to it. You know, do what it is that God's called you to do, and God will give you success in it. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but God will give you success. You know, when God gives you that opportunity, that God op, as we talked last week, you got to strike. You got to move forward. You know, when God calls and you respond, the wrong they always show up. Always. The wrong they, they've got haterade, so to speak. They're guzzling it. You show me someone that has a measure of success in life, and they're building something in their life, and I'll show you the wrong they, and they'll hate on them. They'll hate on you. They're going to be resentful. They're going to be jealous. They may not like your new goal for your family or your life. They may actually want what you want, but they're not willing to do what you've done to get there. They may be envious, envious of God's blessings in your life. But here's what I know. Real friends cheer when you're blessed. Real friends cheer when you succeed, when you step out, when you pursue an opportunity, a God-honoring opportunity, when you start building something in your life, your friends will cheer that on. But there is no opportunity without opposition. In fact, I think opposition, when you run into it, it should alert you to the fact that you're in the right position and you're where God wants you. You know, God has an amazing position for every one of us here. Every one of us. Every one of us is a leader here in some sphere of our life. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, yeah, but wait a minute, Damon. I'm at home all the time. I got preschoolers tugging on me. You know, I'm not a leader. And I just want to clear this up. You are a leader. You're an influential leader. In fact, I believe it may be one of the most important leadership positions on this planet as parents. See, you're a leader if you're a coach or a teacher or if you're in law enforcement or the military, if you're in an office or at a job site or working in a store. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, God has placed you there to lead and to have influence in other people's lives. And the wrong they'll try and keep you down. The wrong they, and there are a lot of them in culture, they'll go, oh, what you're doing, not a big deal. What you're doing, it doesn't amount to anything. Who cares? No one's watching. You know, what you're doing, it doesn't really matter. And this is where it gets really serious. Because they, if you surround yourself with the wrong they, if you listen to the wrong they will define you. You have the ability to surround yourself with the right they, but it's a choice. I know in our culture today, self-esteem, it's a big thing. Culture says, oh, look inside yourself. And friends, if I'm honest, if I look inside myself, I am fallen, I am broken, I am messed up. I can be selfish at times. I become very me-oriented sometimes. I make the wrong choices sometimes. If you want real self-esteem, if you want to discover real self-esteem in your life, how creative you are, how innovative, how wonderfully you're created, what potential you have, God-given potential, you do not look inside yourself. You go vertical, and you look to God. You see what God sees. You are made in the image of God. You are God's workmanship. Scripture says we're fearfully, wonderfully made. You see yourself in the way God sees you. And the right they, well, they'll point you back to God. They will reinforce the vertical in your life. They will point you that way. If you listen to the wrong they, you will not go vertical. You'll go horizontal at some point. In fact, you'll become like them, like the wrong they. the wrong they do not like to see success. The wrong they will always question motive. Why are you doing that, Nehemiah? Why are you rebuilding the walls now? I'm going to go tell the king. See, motive became very much a question when you read scriptures. The Bible's so modern to me, so real. It deals with stuff that you and I deal with every day. I've been encouraging you to read different chapters. I'd encourage you this week to read chapters 3 and 4. Because as you read that, just mark or at least notice the they's that are in Scripture. They. You're going to find them all over the place. And most of them are the wrong they's, but there's some right they's in there. Scripture says this, then the Jews who lived near them, again, the wrong days, came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. See, the right they, the ones building the wall, are listening to the wrong they. They're reading the wrong blog. They're allowing the wrong they to have influence over them. I heard this a couple weeks ago. Do you know what blog stands for? Basement Living Opinion Giving. Now, let me say, not all blogs are bad. In fact, there are several that are very, very good. But many of the blogs out there have an axe to grind. They have something very subtle, sometimes not so subtle, underneath it all. At some point in your life, you have to figure out that the wrong they will keep you from being who God created you to be. Scripture says, Nehemiah says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight. For your families, and fight for your sons and your daughters, and fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. Fight, fight, fight. If you do not want to be who God created you to be, hang out with the wrong people. Go ahead. But friends, there's going to come a point when you clock out of this world, and you're going to come face to face with God. And he is not going to ask you why you weren't more like so-and-so. No, your God, your creator, is going to ask you why you were not more like you. If you hang out with the right they, because they have God in their life too, that right they will remind you who you are. They'll remind you who you belong to. They will show you the love of God. They will encourage you. They will cheer for you so that you get this vertical going on and you got the horizontal going on with other Christians and other people in your life that love you and care about you. And that's a beautiful thing. In fact, I believe it's God's design. I believe it's how God builds his kingdom. The wrong they will keep you from stepping out. They'll keep you from doing what God's called you to do. They'll cause you to withdraw, to step back, to say, yeah, I'm going to play it safe here. I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not going to start that company. I'm not going to go back to school. I'm not going to change jobs. I'm not going to take that step. Don't listen to the wrong they. In fact, if God laid something on your heart, best advice I can give you, start moving. Start moving. Strike with force in your life. Strike with power, knowing that God's called you to that. The wrong they, they're like a poodle chasing a freight train, all right? They cannot stop you. But if you stop the train, and you listen to the wrong they, and people do this all the time, I'll tell you something. The wrong they will wear you down. The wrong they will steal from you, kill. They'll destroy. The wrong they will keep you from being you and being who God created you to be. The wrong they'll keep you from building something in your life. They will paralyze you in fear. You know, what if this doesn't work? What if people don't like me if I do this? You know, what if? That's where faith comes in. You know, when was the last time you tried to do something that you knew would not work if God wasn't in it? When was the last time? Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. You know, let's talk about the right they. I mean, how can you spot them? How do you know what the right they looks like? Well, the right they, T-H-E-Y, T, they're tough. They're tough. The right they emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus was tough. He was tender, but he was tough. I mean, he had the strength to do what he needed to do. He could stand his ground when he needed to stand his ground. Even when the world turned on him, even when his friends abandoned him, he stayed true to his mission because he knew what God had put him on this earth for. And he died on the cross. I mean, he was tough. And I think the right they in your life are tough. They stand strong. They're willing to fight. They're willing to fight for vision. They're willing to fight to build in your life, to help with that wall, whatever it is. They're willing to fight. You know, do you have people in your life that are tough, tenacious, that'll stand up for you and with you? People that love you for who you are? See, the right they, H, are honest. They speak the truth in love. They hold you accountable. And let me say something about accountability. It's not something you can force. Accountability emerges out of affinity. It's developed over time as you're in relationship with other people. It's about trust and respect and love, and you develop it over time. It takes time. It takes time. The right they, E, they encourage. They encourage. You trust them. You trust them with your mission, whatever it is. You trust them as you're making steps in your life and you set goals that they'll ask the right questions of you. You trust that they'll not get stuck on the whys. You know, now, whys are not bad questions. But I will tell you, many people get stuck in the whys. They never move forward because of the whys. Why are we doing? Why should I do this? Why should you be doing that? And pretty soon, why begins to sound like wine. You know, you want some cheese without wine? Why? Yeah. The right days in your life encourage you. When you read the New Testament, you got all the one another commands that are in Scripture. Love one another. Build up one another. Encourage one another. Be kind to one another. Accept one another. Bear one another's burdens. All these things that we're called to do, the right they, they're one another oriented in life. You need that in your life. I need that too. I mean, I really do, and so do you. The right they, why, yield. Yield. They are not yes men or yes women to you, but they're yielded fully to God. They're committed to God. The right they are committed to your relationship. They want to connect. And once you make a decision, a godly decision, by the way, once you make it, whether you're saying yes to something or no to something in your life, see, they can question you about what you're doing. They can challenge you. Why? Because they love you. But once you make that decision, once you get to that point, ain't nothing to do but to do it. If it is the right they, your decision becomes their decision. In other words, they're with you, and they're going to cheer you and help you. And here's just a little leadership principle. If you lead somewhere in life, when you make a decision, when you leave that meeting or that time together, if after you've made that decision, if someone that you was sitting with you in that moment says, well, I would have done it this way, but you know what so-and-so said, wrong they. Warn them once, fire them quickly, get some distance. They're not the right they. Now, I know you're going, well, I can't fire my kids, can I? No, I saw some smiles. No, you can't. You can't fire your kids, your parents. But, sometimes you got to discipline. You got to deal with stuff. You got to deal with it. David's the king. Or this is right before David's king. He's on the run. King Saul is trying to hunt him down. He's got his armies out hunting him down. They're going to kill him. David had his own soldiers. And he asked him a very simple question in Scripture. He says, are you with me? Are you with me? When you're pursuing something, when you're pursuing something in your life that's God-honoring, that call of duty, whatever it is, the right they are with you. The right they have your back. And then you get the good side of the sway of they. You know, here's some questions I would challenge you to just ask yourself on a regular basis. And they'll kind of help you discern the right they from the wrong they. And let me say something before I jump in. First of all, every one of us here have the wrong theys in our lives. That's just a reality. You're going to have that. You should show them love, but do not let them influence you. So here we go. Six questions. And you must answer yes to all of them. And this, again, is to help us identify the right they for our lives. And here's the first question. Do they motivate you to love God more? Do they motivate you to love God more? Oh, I think they're a believer. They make a lot of money. They're really good at this and that. They're really nice. They're really cute. No, that's not what I ask. The question is, do they motivate you to love God more? That's the first question. Second question, do they celebrate God's blessings in your life? And this is a tough one, but the bottom line is friends rejoice with friends. When they are blessed, they rejoice. When they get a promotion, they rejoice. When they close the deal, they rejoice. When they get a windfall, they rejoice with them. Envy begins where influence ends in life. Here's another question. Do they have your back? When you go for an opportunity, whatever it is, you decide your marriage is going to be better, you're going to be more committed to God, you're going to work hard, you're going to change jobs, whatever. When you go for the opportunity, you will experience opposition. You will. When the opposition comes, at that moment, turn around and see who's got your back. And it will be very clear who the right they in your life is. Here's the fourth question. Do they hold you accountable out of love and friendship? Again, this requires relationship. It's about love. It's about respect. It's about trust. Accountability comes out of affinity. It's in relationship, doing life together. As Christians, we are to have accountability in our lives. You know, that's why we're always pushing small groups or ministry teams, because it's a great place to develop those kind of relationships in life. We all need that. We all need that. Here's the fifth one. Do they live what they believe? In other words, does their walk and their talk sync up? You know, people go, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Do you? I mean, are you faithful to church? I kind of pop in and out sometimes. I get to church when I can. Are you serving God? Well, I don't really serve. I mean, I got a lot of stuff going on in my own life. Wrong they. Bottom line, the right they, what they say, and what they do sync up. And here's the sixth one. Do they have the right they in their lives? Now, I won't do this, but I could get my phone and trade phones with anybody here. Just say, hey, let's trade phones. And I could very quickly look through your contacts, and you could look through mine, and with amazing accuracy, we could predict how our futures will go. In other words, start going through the contact, right they, wrong they, wrong they, wrong they, right they, and just go through. I do not even have to know you to do that. I would have to call everybody on your contact list and talk to them for a little bit. And you could do that with mine. But when I got done doing that, it might take a while, I could tell you how your future is going to ruin, what it's probably going to look like. The sway of they. It's powerful stuff. I challenge you on that, and we're gonna pick this up next week and just keep kind of building. But I challenge you this week just to step back and do some evaluation about the they in your life. And my guess is there's some they that you need to go, I need some distance from. And there's some they that you need to gravitate closer to. But trust me, they, T-H-E-Y, they have a lot of power in your life. And you're the only one that can decide which way you're going to move with it. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, I know that you've called all of us to various things in our life. You've called us to build and to do things. And God, I pray that we just listen to the right day as we move forward. God, help us to identify the they that are tearing us down, that are keeping us from doing what it is you've called us to do. God, forgive us the times that we listened to the wrong they. We did something or we didn't do something we were supposed to. God, help us to run after you with everything in us, to surround ourselves with the right days. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise with everything we say and do. May our lives be an act of worship before you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. And God's people said, let's worship today.